Come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Bonner. Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Hello.
Connolly.
Yes.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Esquivel,
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Harshman, Harshman, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux, Laux,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey, Miller, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Peterson, excused, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepherson, Stewart, Stebson, Teeters, Throne, Braunish, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel here. Harshman. Harshman. Miller. Miller. 57 present, 1 excused, 2 absent.
Please stand and join our own representative Throne for the morning prayer.
Friends, I attended the vigil a few weeks ago for the spouse of our former state auditor and heard a prayer there, St. Ignatius of Loyola's prayer for generosity. And I've modified it slightly for us. Will you please join me in prayer? Dear Lord, teach us to be generous. Teach us to serve you as you deserve. To give and to not count and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, save that of knowing we are doing your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're at that order of business journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 25, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 389, Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the committee of the whole report failing the bills as below by the vote indicated. House Bill 251, abortion, ultrasound information, ayes 14, noes 15, excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message 390, Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 100. Senator Burns, Chairman, Senator Christensen, Senator Jennings, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
And our doctor of the day is Robin Hallman from here in Cheyenne. Welcome, if you are back there somewhere. Yay. Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen of the 61st, you're probably well aware that Saturday was Buffalo Bill Cody's birthday. And we've got a couple special guests here today from that great institution that honors his memory, the Buffalo Bill Historical Center. We have Wendy Schneider and Bruce Eldridge. And before we welcome them, they would like to invite all of us to a reception tonight at the Little America that they're hosting with Sinclair Oil. So please try to make it, and let's give them a big welcome. Thank you.
Representative Stepson.
Mr. Speaker, can I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to my favorite constituent of Representative Croker, one of my two favorite constituents. My dad, Don Stepson, came down to watch us at work today, and make him feel welcome.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the guy that just stood up, I knew him when his hair was a little darker and mine was a little darker. We used to work together with our former employer. Anyway, we had fun at times.
Yay! Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my honor today to introduce the Lingle Fort Laramie High School. I think you guys are seniors? Seniors. Awesome. Best school in the state. And their teacher, Mr. Derby. Please welcome them to the house.
Representative Escobar.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor? Ladies and gentlemen, on the 61st, you did get an invitation in your box to the Father Factor Appreciation Luncheon. And for the new members, if you go through the north door of the Herschler building, it's right across the street in the first house next to that parking lot. And they will have to-go plates if you do have a noon meeting.
Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Conference committee announcement?
Sure, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, your conference committee on House Bill 100 will meet upon adjournment today in Senate Education.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've had several different groups of FFA members visit our gallery this year, And last Friday, we had a group from the Snowy Range that came over and made a presentation on the relocation of Plum Island facilities, a biosecure facility. Anyway, the FFA groups have been involved in our session a great deal the last couple of years. And today in the North Gallery, we have another group of FFA members and their instructor from Weston County School District Number 7 at Upton. And those members that are with us this morning is Bethany Materi, Brenna Sadler, Kenneth Kimsey, Quinn Bao, I believe that's Mark Harness and their instructor, Andrea Driscoll, and we're very glad to have them, and the leadership that that organization teaches these young people will serve them well and serve our country well. So welcome to the House.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege, please.
Please proceed.
This is a note from the University of Wyoming on an opportunity to hear about the NCAR supercomputer facility at 1215 today. It'll be in room 1699 of the Herschler building, and they should give us a good overview of what's going on and the progress of that very unique and very important to the state installation. Please attend.
And I guess I take this opportunity on the chance that the Pettersons are listening, but congratulations on their addition to their family. I know Sandy went over with them, so if you're listening out there, congratulations, Brian and Sarah. We wish you the best and look forward to seeing you. Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your conference on House Bill 74 will meet one more time, hopefully the last time today, at 12:30 in S1.
We're at that order of business reading and signing of enrolled acts. The first enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act 65.
House Enrolled Act 65 being original House Bill 49, an act relating to public health, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 65, being original House Bill 49. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act 66.
House Enrolled Act 66, being original House Bill 129, an act relating to nuclear energy, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 66, being original House Bill 129. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act 67.
House Enrolled Act 67, being original House Bill 235, an act relating to motor vehicles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 67, being original House Bill 235. House Enrolled Act 68.
House Enrolled Act number 68, being original House Bill 249, an act relating to criminal procedure, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 68, being original House Bill 249. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act 69.
House Enrolled Act 69, being original House Bill 152, an act relating to the Environmental Quality Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 69, being original House Bill 152. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 69.
Senate Enrolled Act 69, being original Senate File 37, an act relating to insurance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 69, being original Senate File 37. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 70.
Senate Enrolled Act 70, being original Senate File 47. An act relating to concealed weapons, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 70, being original Senate File 47. I have so signed. House or Senate Enrolled Act 71.
Senate Enrolled Act 71, being original Senate File 121, an act relating to environmental quality, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 71, being original Senate File 121. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 72.
Senate Enrolled Act 72, being original Senate File 143, an act relating to public funds, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 72, being original Senate File 143. I have so signed. We are at that order of business, bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 95.
Senate File 95, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to the legislature.
Senate File 95, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 100.
Senate File 100, introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to cruelty of animals.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 100 and ask for your favorable consideration. Remembering back to Friday, I raised some concerns about the fund that's created by Senate File 100 because it creates really an easy avenue for local governments that may otherwise have the ability to seek compensation from the person that's actually responsible for the cleanup. And what we don't want to do is create a disincentive for local governments to use either their nuisance abatement statutes or whatever other tools that they may have to try to collect the costs from the people that are actually responsible and instead come running to the people of the state of Wyoming to pick up that cost. So what this amendment simply does is that it requires as a precondition to getting monies out of this fund that the local government has to show that they made reasonable efforts to try to collect from the person responsible, and hopefully we'll keep them honest in using those tools before they come to the state for money. And so with that, I'd take any questions on the amendment.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a good amendment. I think financial restitution may have a greater impact on influencing people's decision than a lot of the other options that we have with respect to this household pet animal cruelty account. I think it helps the bill, and I would urge your support.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 100, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 100 has been adopted. Senate File 100, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 139.
Senate File 139, introduced by Senator Scott, an act relating to the Healthy Frontiers health care reform.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 139 and ask for your favorable consideration. And what this does, there are two provisions in the bill as it currently stands, which would set the ball rolling so that Healthy Frontiers, essentially when the people are that are enrolled in Healthy Frontiers, get employed, and they are employed by an employer that's providing health insurance, this would provide a mechanism for the state to become involved in that and cost share. This amendment would strip out those provisions. I just have a concern. I support looking at this program and moving forward on it. And I think one of the benefits of it is making sure that we're moving people off of any public assistance to assistance that's provided through their employers, and by creating this sort of program where employers maybe have an incentive to push some of that expense onto the state, that's not necessarily where I would like to see this program head. And so what this does is it just leaves the program as it is. And really, this is one of the only programs out there that's looking at costs. It leaves it looking at costs, but it eliminates that one element of moving the state into involvement with private health insurance. So I'd urge your favorable consideration of the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. I think it is consistent with what we talked about the other day, that we're keeping this program pretty much status quo, not expanding it, other than we're moving the membership a little bit higher. But those are all ideas that maybe that can be discussed next year or the year after that. But I certainly see the point that that's probably stuff to be talking about in the future. So I'd urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 139, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 139 has been adopted. Senate File 139 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 58 is off the consent list. There is an amendment. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate files 69, 90, 91, 109, 112, 121, or 124, 131, and Senate Joint Resolution 7.
Would anyone like to remove any of the bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 69, introduced by Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 90, introduced by Senator Nutting, an act relating to the Wyoming Nurse Practice Act being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 91, introduced by Senator Hicks, an act relating to the Wild Livestock Disease Research Partnership being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 109, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to peace officers for state parks, temporary peace officers, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 112, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military National Guard Billeted Soldiers Fund, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 124, introduced by Senator Escobel, an act relating to overweight and oversized vehicle penalties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 131, introduced by Senator Schiffer, an act relating to the military department federally funded positions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Joint Resolution 7, introduced by Senator Dockstetter, a joint resolution regarding the bark beetle mitigation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay, aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley, Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Ronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 69, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 90, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 91, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 109, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 112, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 124, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Simlick, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Teeters, aye to no. Are there additional changes? Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 52 aye, 7 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 131, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate Joint Resolution 7, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59-aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate files 69, 90, 91, 109, 112, 124, 131, and Senate Joint Resolution 7 have passed the House. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, introduced by Senator Landon, an act relating to education regarding school athletics safety. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 38 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
Moniz,
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen excused, Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Edmonds, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Braunisch, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 17 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 38, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 38 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 58.
Senate File 58, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to industrial siting for wind energy facilities. Landowner rights in wind energy development, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 58 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill, as you'll recall, allows landowners to submit written comments with respect to the ISC process. But on page 8, line 10, there's a reference to oral and written testimony, and that sort of insinuates an involvement that's greater than is contemplated by the rest of the bill. So what this amendment does is it just clarifies that language and clarifies that we're talking about the comments presented by the landowners, and I think it ties it more closely to the purpose of the bill and the language in the rest of the bill. So if there's I'd take any questions and ask for your favorable consideration.
Chairman Teeters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a friendly amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 58, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 58 has been adopted. Senate File 58 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey. Hunt. Illaway. Yagi. Kasparic. Croker. Crone. Lockhart. Laux. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Patton. Peasley. Peterson excused. Peterson. Petroff. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Throne. Vronish. Wallace. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Senate File 58, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 58 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 132.
Senate File 132, introduced by Senator Hastert, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding strangulation of a household member, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 132, and I will withdraw the amendment at the appropriate time. I don't stand up here lightly to discuss this. I think in 7 years this is the first time I've brought one of these types of amendments. But I will tell you, this is not the first time that we've talked about strangulation as a crime and made adjustments to our strangulation statutes. You'll recall that in 2009, this was an issue after an acquittal in Laramie County. And so we amended the aggravated battery statute. It used to say that a person is guilty of aggravated battery if he causes serious bodily injury to another. And we added to the aggravated battery statute then, causes or attempts to cause serious bodily injury to another. And aggravated battery, as we all know, is a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 10 years. Now, I know and understand that we're talking about horrific crimes here. But my problem with the bill is that it's already addressed in the law. We have broad general categories of law. We've got battery, aggravated battery, and then if it's serious enough, attempted murder. Because under our attempt statute, if you go far enough under that statute, you can be charged and penalized for murder by just attempting the murder. And strangulation is terrible. But so is being held at gunpoint, held at knife point, beaten, or as the case is talked about, being hit in the head with a hammer, or kicked 20 times with steel-toed boots. All of those are terrible things. All of those are aggravated battery. And so the question is, why do we want to create a special class of citizens that we treat differently, either by who you are or by what the means or method is? What we have here is a special class, a household member who is being terrorized. And so we have a special crime for certain people when we should protect all people under the law equally. We also have special methods. I would maintain to you that strangulation is awful. But this is a special method, different, but no worse in a matter of degree than having a gun held to your head or a knife held to your throat. They're all terrible. And so what we do is we carve out a separate crime, and then under our statutes we allow somebody to be punished for two crimes for the same act, because under our double jeopardy statutes, you can be charged if there's an additional element with an additional crime. And so then we start treating people differently under the law. I think the laws that we have now are broad enough to cover every person equally. And just as I would oppose hate crimes legislation, I would oppose this, because I think we need to treat all victims of crime equally, because our laws should be equal. And here's one of the odd examples that comes out of this. If a parent strangles an adult child living in the house, it's not the crime of strangulation under this bill. But if a parent strangles a spouse, it's a different crime. And I would submit to you, brothers and sisters of the 61st, that that's just not right. crimes should be crimes, and they should apply to everybody equally. And so I would urge you to defeat this bill. Thank you.
Representative Green, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to reference the sheet we handed out last week regarding serious bodily injury, which is in the green books behind you, if you prefer to look there. Serious bodily injury is a substantial risk of death which causes miscarriage, severe disfigurement, or protracted loss of impairment of the function of any bodily member or organ. 85% of the time, there is no visible evidence of a strangulation crime that took place. So it does not meet, it is not sufficient to meet the requirements of serious bodily injury. In a bar fight or any typical fight, men seldom go for the throat against a fellow man in self-defense. There's another handout in your box today from a prosecutor from Sweetwater County that I put in your to be handed out. It's a typically in the strangulation, men are not trying to cause severe bodily injury to their partner. They're trying to traumatize them. They're trying to demonstrate the power they have over their loved one. They're not trying to kill them. Unfortunately, sometimes they do kill their partner by doing this act where they're trying to exemplify their power over their partner. Law enforcement doesn't usually treat as such a heinous crime because the legislature here doesn't treat it as a heinous crime. Once we treat it as a heinous crime, law enforcement will also treat it as a heinous crime, and they will go after those domestic violence partners. Until we do that, there'll be many people continue to be abused with strangulation. They attempt to use that power. Unfortunately, some people die. It only takes 10 seconds to start cutting off the oxygen for a loved one. And I think we need to change the law today to protect the people of Wyoming. I will yield the floor to several good attorneys who will address the legal issues. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to address a few items relating to this bill. First of all, and I mentioned this last week, but this bill is very narrowly tailored. It's very narrowly tailored to a specific instance of conduct. And as a prosecutor, there are several instances of conduct that you can charge in different ways. You can charge a misdemeanor crime. You can charge the same elements could be charged as a felony. So there's a lot of discretion that we give prosecutors in our state, and I think that's important. But in this case, when other speakers are saying we really don't need this, I'll just let the body know that there are instances where aggravated assault will not apply. And the only tool that a prosecutor would have in a circumstance with a household member being strangled is a misdemeanor, albeit a high misdemeanor in some cases, and that's not appropriate for this level of conduct. So we can go back and forth about, well, we've already got laws on the books that are ready to be used, but the fact of the matter is there are instances of conduct that are very serious that under our existing law can only be charged as a misdemeanor. So I urge the body to support this bill and defeat the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with what the majority floor leader stated earlier, that this is already included in domestic violence. And we did work really hard back in 2009 fixing that statute. The distinction I would make, and the reason I would urge you to vote for the bill, is the same argument we've had with multiple different types of criminal violations. It's a lot of times it is the title of what you're charging. We had this debate when we did the voyeurism bill. You actually can charge some other things that just don't have that title. Voyeurism, you certainly know what they were doing, as opposed to if I just charge trespassing, you may not really quite know what that person was up to. The better example is third-degree sexual assault against a child. That has a certain ring to it. But if I say incest to you, now you definitely know what that individual did. I can charge under either one. I can do the third degree against a sexual assault crime or the incest crime. We have two in the books. Clearly you know what happened if it's that incest charge. The same thing if you see an individual and you pull up their NCIC chart and it just says a DV charge, a domestic violence. a DV charge can be a lot of things. A lot of times people will look at that, and I don't mean to say that domestic violence has reached a certain type, but a lot of people will say, oh, that must be one of those he said, she said incidences, or, you know, not real sure what exactly happened in that. And everyone always has their story on a domestic violence. But if I say strangulation, and you see that on your NCIC chart, you clearly know that that's more than a he said, she said. That was a strangulation, not a domestic violence. So it really comes down to the titles that you're using. We've done this before where we've created bills specifically to get that title there. And I would just point out, I thought the statement in that handout was good. The particular cruelty of the offense and its potential effects upon a victim, both physically and psychologically, merit its own categorization. And maybe we're at that point, that with strangulation, it does merit its own specific categorization, even though majority floor leader is correct. You can actually charge this under other crimes. But I think, especially with the cases that are going on and with the hard work being put in by the Sweetwater County attorney, maybe we have reached that level of it needs its own criminal definition.
Representative Breckel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising against the bill, for the amendment against the bill, but you know, one of the arguments that we heard repeatedly is that that there is no evidence of a strangulation, and maybe that's one of the reasons that this isn't called out in law now. But if there is no evidence of after somebody has been attempted to be strangled, what does another law do to improve making it evident? It just becomes another enhanced penalty. So, against the bill.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good speaker pro tem read the quote I was going to read to you, but I think it bears repeating that this is a different crime. And in response to the majority floor leader's concern about creating a separate class, we already have a separate class of crimes. It's called domestic violence. It is a separate class of crime. It's a different crime. And that's why we need this bill, because in the event of strangulation of a domestic situation, we don't have the tools we need to properly protect the victim and punish the perpetrator. That's why we need this bill. And we've needed it for several years now, and we've worked hard to make it a narrowly tailored bill to fit the specific harm that we're trying to address. Domestic violence is already a different class in our statute, so we are just adding another tool in the toolbox to deal with this very particular and very heinous crime.
Representative Vranish, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, one of the things I always look at on these bills is, could it be abused, okay? And believe me, this is just a joke. You know, you always say, well, he's just trying to get her to shut up. But he wouldn't be covering the nose. And, you know, this is really a very serious crime. And any time I deal with some of this stuff, I go to my son. And he's my resident expert. And he said that law enforcement needs this additional tool, because a lot of times it isn't specifically covered. He said if it's a felony, and, you know, you can always deal with the severity of it, and it can always plea it down to a misdemeanor. But he said that law enforcement really needs this tool, and I am in support of this tool. So with that, I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Rising against the bill, a couple different things. First of all, I don't think there are any new criminal statutes that law enforcement and prosecutors don't want. That's just the tenor of their business, and that's what they like to see, and they all want a bigger toolbox To me, that doesn't make good laws. Strangulation is a horrific thing. But if you look at the language of this bill, if you recklessly attempt to impede the normal breathing of an individual, you're guilty of strangulation in 5 years, a five-year felony. And I would ask the body, is merely recklessly attempting, not even doing it, but attempting to impede the normal breathing. And there's lots of ways you can attempt, you can impede normal breathing. You don't have to do it by strangulation. So my point is that the bill is poorly crafted. And then that's just the first part. The second part is by applying pressure on the throat or neck. So theoretically, you can apply pressure on the back of the neck. And if you're impeding normal breathing, then that's a five-year felony. And that, and to me, the language of the bill just doesn't make sense. And I, as previously mentioned by the majority floor leader, I think there's more than adequate laws to address the heinousness of strangulation. Thank you.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and against the amendment and in favor of the bill, there's one thing that I would just like to mention. We've heard a couple of times it said, what if there's no evidence? And that's true. That's one of the things that makes this a particularly heinous offense is frequently there is no physical evidence. And I believe it's been suggested that maybe that's a reason why we don't need it, because we don't have physical evidence. I would submit to you that we have a lot of lethal acts that we don't know what's happened until an autopsy is performed. One that just pops in my mind is poisoning. Not any physical evidence, and that person is dead. So, and we have a law for that. So I just wanted to point that out. I also want to point out that strangulation is really a truly inherently dangerous action, simply because in many cases, the person really doesn't intend to kill the victim. The person really intends to exert power, control, authority. It's a terrifying kind of thing. But what happens, and we've heard this before too, is that when you're strangled and when your air is cut off, you think you're going to die and your body thinks it's going to die. And it behaves appropriately thinking that. Often the violence escalates. Often domestic batterers use this in escalating form because they know it's a good way to terrorize and to get control over the victim. 10% of the murders in the United States, I didn't know this till I did some research here, 10% of the murderers in the United States are strangulations. Many of them are domestic violence related, which of course is why the bill is so narrowly crafted. Victims can and do die quite accidentally, not with the idea that there was an intent, but they do die, and they can die up to 36 hours after they have been strangled. It's a heinous crime. We say, well, but do we need to make it a felony punishable by 10 years or whatever we're saying? I would submit to you that, you know, I open an unlocked car door and I steal a pair of $10 sunglasses. That's burglary, and it's a 10-year felony. Or I write a $5 check on your account. That's forgery, and it's a 10-year felony. Or I get mad and I key the car. Property destruction, 10-year felony. I think this is something that's badly needed to address a particularly vicious and cruel crime, and I would urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Peasley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple comments on this. I really wasn't going to get up and say much, and I won't. But the thing that's bothering me in the debate, and I think this was brought up best by the good representative from District 8, we have laws and laws and laws, and what happens is after there was 10 commandments one time, and then it's of course come down to a whole code and a set of regulations, and we never have a year go by with what we don't have law enforcement in wanting more tools in their tool chest. That phrase drives me nuts. So they have more arrows in their quiver. And what bothers me about these is that so many of these crimes can be proven, but they have trouble proving them. So instead of enhancing law enforcement techniques or attorney skills, they come running to the legislature to help them win by definition. And when you think about, for example, just by way of a parallel, the DUI laws. I mean, we have pounded those to the point where we're just, I don't know when a hyena gives up on a carcass, but we just keep going after that. And now it's gotten to the point where we now have to drag you off to the to get a test whether you like it or not. I mean, we're kind of a Gitmo level of law enforcement because it's another arrow in their quiver, another tool in their tool chest. We also are in search of these buzzwords. We like these little catchy phrases that terrify people. And I think that that was brought up by the representative from District 23. When you say it a certain way, it has more zing to it. And strangulation is just the sort of thing you want to be able to, you know, enunciate clearly in front of a jury. And we created a category of domestic violence to make everybody feel like it was really significant. And we put a whole bunch of laws we already have into that category. And now we're going to have to parse them down. I don't know. I was sort of neutral on this bill, and I think the presentation by the bringer of the amendment from District 31 kind of won me over. I think I'm going to be against this one, and I just don't think we can continue to add law after law after law. There's no end to this, folks. There's no end to this, and each time we're going to have a crime du jour. And we're going to have a buzzword du jour, and we're going to have to create a category and take care of another problem. Humanity is going to continue to have problems, and we're going to have to live within a group of laws that are comprehensible. And just piling them on isn't the best way to go. And I did talk longer than I said I would. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I've taken a look at this bill, and I've tried to kind of wrap my head around it, and I've tried to compare it. You know, if you look at the elements of aggravated battery, we've heard today that doesn't help this situation where somebody applies pressure to someone else's throat or it's some type of blocking breathing or some type of choking. But if you look at 62502A Romanet 1 and you compare the elements of that crime, I'm just going to kind of go through this. Both Senate File 132 and 62502 have causing or attempting to cause. Both of them have intentionally or knowingly or recklessly. So far, we're identical. The one piece that aggravated assault adds is under circumstances that manifest extreme indifference to the value of human life, i.e. it's a very serious crime. The one difference here is that this bill defines the injury as just bodily injury, whereas aggravated assault defines it to be guilty of that. You have to have caused or attempted to cause serious bodily injury. And the definition of those two, I can read those for you, but suffice it to say that bodily injury is really the slightest touch. It can be any physical pain for just a second. Serious bodily injury, the requirement to get to that, and why we added attempts to cause in the statute in 2009, was because serious bodily injury requires that after the act, you ultimately have some type of protracted injury, loss, or impairment of a bodily function. In other words, paraphrasing, it's a serious, permanent, you know, the relativity of the severity is anywhere from 1 to 100, but it's a permanent type of thing. And so that's the difference between bodily injury and serious bodily injury. And the one issue that I have with Senate File 132 is that the bodily injury use of that word takes us back to what we already have on the books, and that's your domestic violence. Now, I will grant you that's, they say it's only a misdemeanor. And one of the good representatives mentioned that in some cases, it's a high misdemeanor. So it's punishable by up to 6 months in jail. So in theory, if somebody comes in and says, well, this person intentionally and knowingly caused or attempted to cause just bodily injury to me. And again, doesn't have to result under bodily injury, doesn't have to result in any long-term impairment. Just pain, this applying of pressure would count. Then you could throw them in jail for up to 6 months. And I think that's a question the body needs to consider is, what type of punishment do you think fits the crime? The other issue I have with this is why I hear these statistics and I read the sheet, but it's all anecdotal. I've heard no, I hear these statistics thrown around and I don't see any organization that's, you know, those statistics are attributed to or studies, but we're limiting this to household members. And I'm thinking to myself, I understand, you know, the science and the stuff that's gone into this and what the person's intent is when they choke somebody or they choke a household member. But why is it any different if non-household members choke each other? Why is that not now going to become a felony? So you've got, and this is where I kind of agreed with the majority floor leader, you've got this situation where you do treat a separate class just in this context, and that is other people, because of their circumstances, i.e. being non-household members, try to strangle each other, okay? And under this bill, because it's only bodily injury, that's a misdemeanor. But if you happen to meet the definition, like if you're two men that live in the same household, not just man and woman going at it, you have two men that happen to live in the same household, so they meet the household member definition, they're choking each other. The only difference between the punishment for this guy, because he lives in the house with this other guy, and man on the street that doesn't really know the other guy, they get in a fight at the bar, but this guy, it's going to be a 5-year felony, this guy's a 6-month misdemeanor. And it just causes me to think for just a second about that and think if that's what I really want. The other thing is on page 2, line 4, applying pressure on the throat or neck. How much pressure? Is it from the back of the neck and squeezing slightly? Keeping in mind that your definition under this bill is not serious bodily injury. So we do not have that safety valve. We've got bodily injury in this bill. So again, if you read, maybe I'll go to the definition of bodily injury so you know how simple it is to have bodily injury. Physical pain, illness, or any impairment of physical condition. So bodily injury, if I squeeze the back of your neck and you go, oh, that hurt, that's a bodily injury under Wyoming law. Very simple to get. So ask yourselves, if somebody comes up and they apply pressure on the throat or neck, neck extends 360 degrees circumference. Throat, that's a different story. But neck, back of the neck, squeeze, bodily injury right there. And if you happen to be a household member, that's a felony. If it occurs in the bar between two men, it's now a misdemeanor. So, and I want you to know my perspective on this. I maintain a civil practice, but I'm kind of a hired gun of sorts because I contract out to do prosecution for several counties, and especially in some cases where the crimes are particularly complicated. And I have to tell you that, yes, this can add another tool to the toolbox, but I personally do not feel at all that I need it. And I personally err on the side of making good law. And let me back up for just a second. My comments are not, sad that I have to say this, but my comments in no way diminish the seriousness of domestic violence. And I think anyone can tell you I've taken cases to jury trials with absolutely horrible evidence, but I knew in my heart that the man in this case was guilty and he had victimized the woman, and I went in and I rode that horse and we got shot off that horse together. So none of my comments are made to diminish the seriousness of domestic violence. But I would err on the side of making good law, crafting things that we really need, and as the one representative mentioned, you know, perhaps improving our techniques or our skills in court, because I think that 62502, if you read that, is more than adequate, because it talks about causing or attempting to cause the serious bodily injury. So just things to consider.
Representative Freeman.
This is one time that I wish I was elegant and I could say what I really feel in a nice, straightforward way. And I'm afraid I'm going to fail in that today, because the more I listen to the arguments back and forth, I see the validity of both sides. I, as a teacher, have sat in my desk listening to parents and children talk about long-term abuse, terror by individuals within a family, and how much problems that it caused. And oftentimes what they said, not all the times, but oftentimes they said is the county attorney could not prosecute. The other thing that they said is once things got pretty hot, the man disappeared, and he couldn't be brought back to trial. And from what I understand of the discussion is if it's a misdemeanor, many other states will not extradite the person back to where that they can be tried and the victims can feel safe with this person in jail and having to pay for his prosecution. I do not know the legal arguments. I don't know if there's enough arrows in the quiver, but I think that the more arrows you have, the better off that you are. Strangulation, I have never been strangulated. I have no idea what the feeling is. I've had a knife pulled on me. I've had a gun brandished around. I know the fear from that. But I do have asthma. And I have been there in a hospital to where that I am trying to find my breath. And the sheer panic that involves. And I look around me and I see my wife and I see the doctor sitting up there wondering what's going to happen, whether or not that my lungs will start to accept air again. I cannot imagine what it would be like with that feeling of panic with the man or a woman's hand around my throat trying to do terror. I think as many tools as we can have to prevent that, the better off the state of Wyoming would be. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Chairman Brown.
First time for the second time.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Well, I'm being swayed, I believe, by the argument that the good speaker made. And that is, and I was discussing it with my desk mate. And I can't understand why we have to have a statute that says strangulation of a household member. What's the difference who you're strangling? Strangulation is strangulation. We already have statutes with almost the exact same wording that this contains. So why do we need this on and against, or on and for the amendment against the bill?
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Kasparek.
On and against the amendment and for the bill. You know, I've told you this before, I've been an ER nurse, and I've been an ER nurse for a lot of years. And every Saturday night, we all get frustrated by the frequent flyers, the families that come in again and again in a syndrome of abuse. You know, we wonder why they don't get out of it, why they don't move on. And it's very hard for people in certain circumstances to change those circumstances. If our job is to do something, to enact some law that helps to protect even one person, two persons, three persons, you know, from this act, then I believe we have an obligation to do what we can to support those people, to continue doing the work that we need to do to get them out of that cycle of abuse. If someone holds a gun to my head
and doesn't shoot me. I think I'm going to die. I'm terrified. I'm going to carry that for the rest of my life. When someone puts their hands around the throats of a victim, they're no less terrified, think they're going to die, and carry that for the rest of their lives. Let's try to save even some of the people who come under this type of attack. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? We're on to second time. Anybody for their second time? Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I think the good speaker missed some finer points in the proposed legislation. If you look at subsection A, it is different language than what we have in assault and battery. It's if the household strangulation of a household member, if he intentionally and knowingly or recklessly. So it's intentionally and knowingly or recklessly. It's all of that together. It's a tough standard to deal with a particular situation, a particular crime. And the good representative from House District 8 said, well, law enforcement, you know, they're always looking for something else. Well, they're the experts in the field, and with all due respect to the speaker, neither he nor I are really true experts in this field. I'm a civil attorney. I don't practice criminal law. But I've learned a lot about criminal law being on judiciary. Almost feel like I could perhaps change my specialty. We spend a lot of time on criminal law in the judiciary. And this bill is brought to us by victims. It's brought to us by advocates for victims of domestic violence, as well as prosecutors who feel frustration. And let's think about all the victims of this crime. The good representative from Sweetwater County has mentioned the lack of physical evidence. But frequently, there are witnesses to this type of crime. There are the children in the household who grow up seeing daddy slam mommy against the wall and put their arms, their hands around mommy's neck to terrify her and to threaten to kill her on a frequent basis. The children see that. This is a different crime, and that's why we've written a statute, a proposed bill, to cover it. This is brought to us by victims, it's brought to us by law enforcement, and it's brought to us by prosecutors, because they don't feel like they have the tools. It's a narrowly tailored statute. Aggravated assault does not cover it because of the high threshold for serious bodily injury. This is a crime of terror. Much the same as holding a gun to somebody's head is a crime of terror, even if you don't intend to prove the trigger. And we give people 10 years for that, whether it's domestic or not domestic. That's a 10-year felony. So this is a different crime to deal with terror in the family and to protect victims of domestic violence. Against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I don't want to belabor all the different points that have been made. I'm obviously still speaking against the amendment and for the bill. I do want to tell you that we do have a pretty complete list of where all the statistics came from. Obviously, there's nobody on here that I can read on the floor, but if anyone is interested in where we got all the various statistical information, I do have the sheet with all the references of that. I also want to, I've heard on several occasions talking about, well, what if I hit on the back of the head or what if I do that? I would remind you that the bill says very clearly and very specifically, you have to cut off their air and blood flow. You can't do that by clipping them on the back of the neck. So that's not germane to this particular bill. It involves cutting off the airflow, cutting off the blood flow. another question that I've heard a lot is why family member? You know, I can strangle you and it's a misdemeanor, and I strangle my wife and it's a felony. What's up with that one? The idea is, and I know we've talked about it before, but this is very narrowly tailored. We're talking about this being used in terms of terror, in terms of control, in terms of intimidation. That's what we look at when we see the domestic battery and the domestic violence, and that's why it's so carefully and narrowly crafted. With that, I would just urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm going to just go back to one thing I said because I'm hearing the same argument over and over again. We're told that this was brought to us by experts in the field. Well, it was brought to us by frustrated experts in the field who couldn't seem to get convictions. And I hear the same buzzwords in the debate that I don't think are apropos. We all know strangulation is a horrible thing to have happen. It would be the most terrible way to die. We have that. We understand that. We know that children are terrified. The children see it. It's a crime of terror. We're using the same buzzwords in debating this that the prosecutor will use to prosecute it. He wants the buzzwords to use. And all I'm suggesting to you is if we are going to bring this bill, let's do it because there is a significant gap. And only one prosecutor testified, and he was one that had trouble with this. And I just don't want prosecutors to continually come back to us when they need some definitional change in the law. Now, you got to remember, when we had the terrorism war and we had problems with interrogation, the experts in the field got together and said we can do it this way. And there was still an outcry that we overreached. So I'm just saying, let's not pile up a bunch of laws unless we got a good reason, and let's not do it emotionally because strangulation is terrible, ergo we have to have a law that talks about strangulation. Focus. I think you're going to have to make up your own mind on this, but I still think we're doing this for the wrong reason and because it makes us feel good. And I just don't want to go there. Thank you.
Representative Green for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to respond to the good speaker from House District 38 who said there's no evidence. Well, there's also typically no evidence that if a perpetrator pulls a gun to somebody's head in the house, the perpetrator knows there's no round in the chamber. That victim does not know there is no round in the chamber. Then the person pulls the trigger. The cops show up afterward. It's still a matter of he said, she said. Still no evidence, as you defined earlier. Also, I'd like to point out from my previous lifetime, in my previous profession, we were taught combatives. There's three places of the body we are not allowed to go for when we're being taught combatives. You cannot go for the eyes because you could accidentally cause somebody never to see again. You can't go for the genitalia because you can cause permanent disfigurement there. You also cannot go for the throat because accidentally you may kill the person, you may cause severe damage to the person within a matter of seconds. That's why we need this amendment today.
Anyone else for their second time? Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, we do this all the time. We have all kinds of criminal laws that overlap that are greater offenses, lesser offenses, and then these prosecutors charge an offense and they charge lesser included offenses. It's not like we don't have a variety of laws for any particular offense, all of which apply. We give the prosecutor the choice and we give him the opportunity to charge in the alternative with lesser included offenses. This is sort of the same thing. To say that we can only have one statute that addresses this particular wrong is just contrary to what we do all the time. Over half the states have passed this for some reason or another. I don't know why. Somebody must have seen some merit in it someplace. And there is a class of batterers, a class of people who are professionals at this. And they know what the law is. They know what they can do and what they can't do. And they know how serious the penalties are. And by increasing the penalty, you make them think twice about doing it. Now, trouble convicting somebody for this offense ought to be reason enough to make a specific offense that will address it. And if the prosecutors are telling us, notwithstanding what we have on the books, they're having trouble getting convictions, I don't have any trouble with giving them a specific charge that they can bring. And if it's a buzzword, it's a buzzword. I think murder is a buzzword. It's pretty dramatic word and pretty clearly known, so I don't understand that. I just don't want to go home and try to defend voting against this bill because we're parsing words out of statutes like we heard. You know, you can get in the aggravated assault statute and you can parse words back and forth and draw fine lines. And we do that with juries all the time, and it's hard. It's really hard. Why not have an offense that goes right straight to the offense and says, there it is. It's in one word, strangulation. So I would urge you to resist the amendment and vote for the bill.
Anyone else for their second time?
Second time,
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I want to be clear with the body. If you pass this, it's not going to impede any of my abilities. I want you to know that, just in case anybody wanted to know. I'm more of the philosophy that I don't want something on the books that I don't need just to have another crime on the books. And I think we need to kind of press the reset button here, because some of the arguments are coming back to this, you know, it's a serious crime. Of course it is. That's not the issue, because I've already stated I feel we have law on the books that I can use to prosecute this. Is it traumatic? Yeah. I don't think anybody in this room would stand up here and say it's not a serious crime or that it's not traumatic. The question is, do we have the ability to prosecute these crimes? And from my perspective, I absolutely think we do. One of the good speakers after me had talked about the elements and had said, well, no, they're not the same. All of the elements in this bill are in 62502, intentionally, knowingly, and recklessly. And I will tell you this, just straight up, if you pass it, the one area where it could help me, if this is what you want your prosecutors to do, is in a domestic situation where there are elements of hands around the neck, and some testimony where, you know, I couldn't, you know, I had trouble breathing, I'll charge a felony. Because I know when I get that felony, I've got that person for the potential of a felony conviction and up to 5 years in prison. And I can tell you exactly what will happen. You'll give me a huge hammer if you want me to have it, where I will charge that. And then I know that in a vanilla case that wouldn't normally apply to this, that person will plead to a misdemeanor in a second so that they can avoid a felony. That will help prosecutors. And we do that. We charge. I reach as far as I can go under the law to get the job done if I believe a crime was committed. And I do that. And this bill will help me do that. So just wanted to give you the information. Thanks.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I bring this amendment with absolute sensitivity to domestic violence victims. And here's the problem, and that is we're creating a special title for a special class of people who get more protection under the law than other people. And so what makes one victim of this horrific crime better than another victim? Are they victimized more or are they victimized less if they're victims? And shouldn't our laws apply equally to everybody? What elements of proof are going to be different between the aggravated battery statute, which says a person is guilty of aggravated battery if he causes or attempts to cause serious bodily injury to another intentionally, knowingly, recklessly, or under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life? What proof is going to be different between that crime and the bill I have in front of you? I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no difference in proof. If the problem is that law enforcement's not investigating the cases and putting the cases well enough together, then they're going to have that same problem under this statute. Because if it's an investigations problem, it's going to go all the way through. I heard some argument about, well, you know, it's what the kids see. And we need to protect the children. Well, if one parent is holding a gun to another parent in front of the kids, or one parent is holding a knife to the throat of another parent in front of the kids, or one parent is strangling a parent, I submit to you that there is no difference, that is all violence. The point is, we already have a 10-year felony in the statute. It's a felony that's proven by testimonial evidence. By voting against this bill, we're not voting to legalize strangulation. We already have the crime. We already have the laws on the books, and this is just unnecessary duplication. I'd urge you to vote against this bill, and Mr. Speaker, I would withdraw the amendment.
Third reading, amendment number one to Senate File 132, having been withdrawn. Senate File 132, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund. Eklund?
No.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Gay?
No.
Gingery?
Aye.
Goggles?
Aye.
Greer?
No.
Green?
Aye.
Harshman?
No.
Harvey?
Aye.
Hunt?
No.
Illaway?
Aye.
Yagi?
Aye.
Kasparic?
Aye.
Croker?
No.
Crone?
Aye.
Lockhart?
No.
Laux?
Aye.
Lubnow?
No.
Madden? McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Peterson excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Bronish. Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 34 aye, 25 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 132, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 132 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, introduced by Senator Hicks, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to allow them to hunt, fish, and trap wildlife. Being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? A two-thirds affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
aye.
Peterson excused, Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, having received a two-thirds affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 has passed the House. We are at that order of business. Request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 378 on House Bill 174. Representative Chairman Simlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on House Bill 174 and ask that you vote no. The amendment that the other body is asking us to consider here, they put that on general file over there, was the same amendment that we had quite a little bit of discussion with on general file over here, and it was the will of the House at that time not to adopt this amendment. So we are really at a kind of an impasse on exactly the same amendment. So the House position was not to adopt this amendment, so we would ask that you vote no and that we go back and see if there's any middle ground that we can discuss relative to the designated transfer of state lands. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please vote no.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 174. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Flickery, Bonner, Botten, Brechtel, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Childers, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen excused, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlek, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Braunisch, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Davison, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 2 aye, 57 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 174. The next message for our consideration is message 379 to House Bill 179. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 379 to House Bill 179, Energy Improvement Program, and ask you to vote aye. The Senate made a few minor changes. Evidently, I think they've got a little wordsmithing going on over over there, but have talked to the sponsor, and the sponsor agrees with the amendments, so please vote aye.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 179. A majority of the members, elected members, is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Brechtel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 179. The next message for our consideration is message 382 to House Bill 252. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 382 to House Bill 52 and ask for your considerable favor, ask you to vote aye. There is one thing that the Senate did find. This is, if you'll recall, is the bill about at the review of the state executive department positions, creating at-will positions. And so their amendment was to consider any federal requirements for positions in programs that are partially federally funded, and I consider that a very friendly amendment. Urge your aye consideration.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 252. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner. Botten, Brechtel, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Childers, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen excused, Peterson, Petrov, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 252. The next message for our consideration is message 383 to House Bill 253. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 283 to House Bill 253 and urge your aye consideration. This is a one-word change, and it actually improves the bill. It said, if you look at page 2 on the bill, it says, when such practice is part of their program of study, and now it says when the practice is part of their program of study. It's a good improvement. I urge your aye vote.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 253. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers. Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 253. The next message for our consideration is message 385 to House Bill 255. Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 385 to House Bill 255, Veterans Tax Exemption. Again, a little wordsmithing in committee. I can imagine who did it. But I would urge an aye vote. I've talked to the sponsor, and he's in agreement. So please, aye.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 255. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen excused, Peterson,
aye.
Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 255. The next message for our consideration is message 386 to House Bill 107, Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message 386 to House Bill 107 and urge you to vote no. There's a handout in your basket that looks like this. Very well done by our LSO attorneys. And there are two problems with the amendment that is was attempted here. Number one, it's probably completely unconstitutional to force a waiver of a jury trial onto a party at a time when they've not had a chance to consult with counsel. Number two, the rest of this amendment deletes some existing language in the statute on page two of the statute that goes beyond the bill title. For those two reasons, I think the attempt is unconstitutional. We'd like to go see if we can get it fixed, so I'd urge you to vote no.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 107. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown. Burkhart,
no.
Byrd,
no.
Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Childers,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik, Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen excused, Peterson,
no.
Petroff.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Subson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
No.
Ronish.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 107. We're at that order of business, adoption of conference committee reports. The first report for our consideration is report number one on House Bill 8. Chairman Simlick.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 8 and ask you to vote aye. The first amendment that we adopted from the other body had to do with this act being able to go into effect immediately. That is fine. When we talked about it during the concurrence, we said that the other body had put on an amendment that would allow municipalities to license and inspect these traditional traditional gatherings that we have in Wyoming. And the House position all along has been not to do that. So the other body had agreed, and they deleted that amendment. So I think we've got it to where everybody seems to be pretty pleased. So I would ask you to vote aye.
We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 8. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey. Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway. Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lebno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Peterson excused, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Ronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to, you have voted to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1. To House Bill 8. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 13. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 13 and would ask the body to vote your conscience. I did not sign the conference committee report. I'm going to turn the explanation over to the good gentleman from Lander.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is one of those things where the Senate refused to retreat from any of their positions, knowing full well that if we didn't accept what they did, why, then we'll stay. The Hathaway Scholarship will stay as it is. The fine arts and career tech would go away. They made some other changes, though, with this amendment that you need to be aware of. It modified the curriculum. And what it does is for the top two scholarships, you have to take then the language, foreign language, and you have to take either 2 years of career vocational education or fine and performing arts. So they increased the number of courses that you have to take in order to qualify for this Hathaway scholarship. On the opportunity and the provisional scholarships, the two lower paying scholarship requirements, they said that you may take 1 year of foreign language, which may be taken between grades prior to grades 9 and 12 and one year after, but you still have to take 1 year, or fine or performing arts or career vocational education. You do not have to take that extra two credits for the last two fine and performing, or the last two opportunity and provisional scholarships. However, one thing you need to be aware of, this bill requires the students to complete the coursework rather than what is an existing law, which requires only demonstration of proficiency for foreign language. This is substantially different than the current curriculum requirement for this scholarship. Then I'm talking about the two lower. And so this is one of the things that you need to be aware of when you vote on this. It also requires the Department of Education to waive success curriculum requirements in the event that the success curriculum requirements were not made available to the student by the district. And this is put in because of some of the smaller districts maybe didn't have the ability to do this. This must be approved by the Department of Education, and any waivers will then be examined by the Joint Education Committee when they're meeting in interim. So that's the explanation of what happened, what they did to the scholarship. I signed on to it because I truly believe that Career Tech and the performing arts are very important things to some of our students, and they're not really challenged. I believe adding two to the higher scholarships really makes a little bit more rigorous, but some of those kids on their senior year need to be challenged a little bit more. So vote your conscience, as the good gentleman from the good chairman said. This is a quite a change that they put on us in the Senate.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends and neighbors, I'm going to give you another choice. I'm going to urge you to vote no, as I'm going to do. And I would say that perhaps we could form another committee, or at least send this committee back to at least bring this bill back to some semblance of the bill that left the House. Ladies and gentlemen, this what we're being asked to vote on today is really not a compromise. And I think it went the wrong way towards lessening the burden on our small school districts. And remember the discussion that we had in the House, and I think this frames the discussion for both bodies. What we're trying to do is maintain rigor and provide some choice. And I think we did a great job here in the House with the bill that left this body. And when I look at the language that came out of the other body addressing this waiver, unfortunately now we will have, with the adoption of this, language that will allow our superintendent of our school districts to waive any requirement for success curriculum coursework. Now, what does that do to address rigor in all the good work we've done over the many years? And I haven't heard a good explanation on the floor that will give me some comfort that this does not open up a door for mischief, an opportunity for mischief throughout the state, where we'll see multiple requests for waivers for multiple reasons that were perhaps not considered when we were discussing this bill. Again, I'd like to ask you to vote no and see if we can go back and find a better compromise.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I wanted to talk about, you know, kind of the genesis of how where this bill came from. And I happened to be attending the interim meetings at the time this was discussed, and actually was brought at the request of districts, a lot of them small districts, but some weren't so small. And they said that, you know, there's an issue here in this top tier of scheduling, getting everything in the way it was, and there were some students that it wasn't appropriate in their mind and their career choice to be taking a foreign language, and they're simply wondering if they could build some flex into it and say that if they didn't take a foreign language, they would switch, or they could, as an option, take the vocational track or the fine arts track. So they were in there, to make a long story short, in there to make build some flex into it because of the number of required units in school relative to the number that was that are required for the top tiers of the Hathaway. Right now, I think it's 32 units for every graduate. And if this goes through, this would simply by requiring foreign language plus adding another requirement, we would get up to, the way I got it figured, about 22 hours or 22 units of courses that are lockstepped into those top tiers. And within that other 10 units, there's other required courses that are not part of Hathaway, but they're still part of the school curriculum. And, you know, I keep thinking if these districts had known that we would have got to this point, and it would have morphed into a thing that built in more rigidity into the program. And here they started, they drove down to the meeting to try to build some more flexibility into it. They'd be better off and would better serve their students if we would just not vote for this, because at least they'll have as much flexibility as they had before they come in asking for more. Then this simply brings in another challenge on the part of scheduling, flexibility for students, and you know, letting students get involved in their direction that they want to go when they graduate and go to college. You know, there's some people with fine arts is where they're going to want to go, and they should be able to do that by taking fine arts. And if that's more important than foreign language, I don't see how this has anything to do with rigor. What it's doing is admitting, or I should say allowing students to have some choice in their future. So I think we've got to vote no on this. If we don't vote no, we're just going to have to, you know, go back and try to get the House position, but that'll come at a later time. So thank you very much.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I heard vote your conscience. I heard vote no. I'll tell you why I voted yes in the committee. When I was in school, I was in choir. I took welding, but no habla español. I wasn't very good at Spanish, and I wanted to keep the career tech and the fine arts in there. And the waivers, I understood it would be based on a student by student basis. So. Vote yes. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm standing here really feeling bad at what we have before us. The work that we did in the Joint Education Committee meeting and all the testimony that we heard was for giving flexibility and choice, and I think we worked very hard on this bill as a body, and we sent it back over to them with the flexibility and choice, and I kind of think they've got, we've been talking about being strangled, I think we're there, and I don't like this at all. I just think the good folks that came and testified in the joint interim meetings drove a long ways to get this through. I just think this is totally opposite of what we intended it to be. So I guess we got to vote no. Thank you.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You're standing in support of the committee report. It certainly is not perfect, and it is not the bill that I thought was very well crafted here in this chamber. However, at the same time, there's two very important areas that students are going to have some access to as part of the curriculum, and that, of course, is the tech and the arts. And I'll tell you, it's not a perfect bill, but it can be fixed in the future, and I think that it gives this opportunity for rigor at the top levels, but you also have more opportunity for students that are geared towards the arts and the technical field. So I would urge the body to vote aye on this and support it. Thank you.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also urge you to support this bill. This is a concept that's been worked on for a really long time. And I just want to say one thing that hasn't already been said. There's been a lot of reference to the people that came and testified and the people who came and supported and spoke for this and wanted us to do this, and that we're maybe selling them out if we vote no. I will tell you, I have heard, because this was a bill of great personal interest to me, I have heard from virtually every single one of those people who came and testified, and they all urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thursday evening, I was unable to join all of you for the dinner with our Turkish friends because I was at the All City Orchestra concert with my 12-year-old son, where they had elementary children playing, all the junior highs represented, all the high schools represented, and they had visiting conductors in for the day. There were hundreds of children participating and hundreds of parents in the audience, and our local music coordinator actually asked for support for the fine arts in the Hathaway. That's something that's near and dear to my heart. And I can tell you that all of the parents there, the hundreds of parents there in our local gymnasium, all applauded when he asked for the inclusion of fine arts in the Hathaway. I think it's important that we move toward that goal. It provides flexibility for the non-singer, non-artist, non-musician to take career tech, and it maintains the rigor in the curriculum. So I would urge your aye vote.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'd urge your no vote. This bill looks radically different than what we passed in the House. It left the House, and I opposed it in the House, but I guess I came around, and I thought it was palatable anyway, and involved school, parent, student choice. And now what we see is something totally different. So I have a handout coming out. I emailed it to you. I thought I'd try to save paper, but I don't think that works. But there's just to give you some, because I think you got some email today, all of you, and I just want to kind of, if you would take a look at your handout in your tray, so we can just see the numbers here, see what we're, so we at least kind of know what we're looking at before we vote on this. If you look at the spreadsheet, ladies and gentlemen, it's a spreadsheet, just hit your tray. You take a minute and get that out. You see the first column, it's got all the core subjects, English, math, science, social studies, foreign language, physical education, health, career, vo-tech, fine and performing arts, and then the electives. And many of those electives with these other areas are common core areas. But if you look at the Louisiana Taylor plan, which is there, currently it's 17 credits. Okay, and then you look at what Louisiana is going to move to in 2014. It's going to go to 19 credits, and basically because they have raised requirements in social studies and then math and science, because they currently have just three math, three science, and then one of those areas. So I put 3.5. And then you can see the Hathaway is 17. And really where the difference then is our social studies, which is only three, where the Taylor plan will go to four. If you look at foreign language, we require 2 years, just like the Taylor plan. And then if you look down below, farther down, you see the Taylor plan has one in fine and performing arts. That's really just, if you read their website, it's a survey program. That's not a rigorous deal. That's for kids to kind of go in and survey what's out there. Now, but here's the key about Career Vo-Tech and fine and performing arts. If you go across, move to your right on your spreadsheet a couple more, you can see where I have CC labeled in there. That's on our Common Core. So every student in Wyoming has to take a fine and performing arts class. Every student in Wyoming has to take a career and vocational technical class, as well as health, physical education, and foreign language. Now, there's some school districts here that you can, I just picked some off the web. You can see Laramie County 1, 26 credits to graduate, 24 in Carbon County 2, Niobrara has 28. So you can kind of get a feel for how many you have there and how many are possible. So like in Carbon County 2, 24 credits to graduate out of 28 possible. Niobrara County High School, 28 out of 32. So there's not much wiggle room for some of these school districts. And now we're talking about adding on to that a couple more requirements. And I just really think if we're going to seriously take a look at changing the Hathaway Success Curricula, because what it does in effect is change our state curricula, that's a pretty serious discussion. And that ought to be an interim study topic by the Joint Education Committee, not a deal on the last week of the legislature on a second go-around on concurrence. And so not only no, but boy, I vote no way on this deal. So appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Representative Freeman, was she first? Chairman Corbett.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to also encourage the body to vote no on this for a lot of the good, the same logic as my good colleague was just talking about from Natrona County. But this piece of legislation that came over to us from the Senate is not the same piece of legislation that was sent over to them. It is dramatically changed. And I'm telling you right now, and I vote on this is like voting on a bill that we have never even had an opportunity to debate on this floor. I mean, it contains brand new stuff in the Hathaway Scholarship Program. And I honestly just don't know why we would vote aye on this today when we would have had no input on it whatsoever other than three members on a conference committee. So on and against concurrence.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I got up a couple times when we were debating this bill the first time it came through. And basically my arguments then and remain is that I teach in one of the biggest high schools in the state. And even with all those classes and all those teachers and all those classrooms, we cannot be flexible enough to where that we can get students to take everything that they want and to take classes that inspire them to come to school, things that they come to school because that they're interested in. By adding two more classes takes more flexibility out of that. Now, when people were persuading me to vote aye on this, what I heard is that if a student had a problem with scheduling to where that they could not take all of those, then they could get a waiver. Now, what I heard on the floor now, and somebody's going to have to help me with this, I hear that it has to go to the State Department in order to get a waiver, and I think that it's for the school instead of the student, which causes even more problems. I very much think that fine and performing arts and career technical education should be pushed in our school. In my school, my career coordinator came up with a nice little sheet that showed how drastically that electives have taken a hit. And they've taken a hit for two reasons. One is that those teachers had to be taken out of advanced classes like French 3 or Spanish 3 so that they could teach Spanish 1 and Spanish 2. And I've lost the second reason. It must be noon or something. But they couldn't do that. And the second reason, good, I gave myself enough time, is there isn't time enough in the schedule to where that the students can do that. Classes or schools could do some things like expand a 7-period day to an 8-period day to where that there's more opportunities to do that. And that sounds like a very easy and simple solution. But if you do that and you have people that are coming to school at 7:45 and leaving at 3, when adding another class, you're going to have buses that come in at 8:45 and leave at 4. So you're going to have all sorts of transportation costs. You're going to have a whole bunch more of custodial costs. I mean, let's be realistic, folks. There's only so many hours in a day. I would urge you to vote no on this. Let's try if we can come up with a new, some more compromise. But what happens is if you vote aye for this, what you're going to do is you're going to take more French 3 and Spanish 3. You're going to take out a whole bunch more advanced auto tech classes and those kind of things because, my friends, there is not enough hours in the school day for that to happen. If you want to raise rigor, do it with the ACT score. You can do it very quickly and very easily. And that you'll force kids to take probably more dual and concurrent classes and other classes like that to where they can raise those scores. I would urge your no vote.
Anyone else? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. To say what the good speaker who just got done speaking said, he comes from one of the largest schools in the state, and in my district, we don't have the smallest schools in the state, but if the largest schools in the state are having problems with flexibility, just imagine what that's doing to the smaller schools. And I'm sort of saying what I said originally when this piece of legislation was before this body for the first time, and that is that we shouldn't be mandating the curriculum when there's the opportunity for students to have a choice in what they're doing. I'm fully in favor of foreign language. I'm fully in favor of vocational education and the arts. But why would we make kids who are aimed at a vocational career take foreign language when it's not essential? And on the same side, why would we make kids who are aimed at something that might require a foreign language or aims towards a degree that would require a foreign language once they get to college, take vocational education or art or something else that doesn't pertain to what they're interested in. So, against the concurrence. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone else represent Patton?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. just on a procedural side of this, the Senate has made substantial amendments to the bill as it left the House. And now if we come back with a no vote, the Joint Conference Committee that may be appointed would have the entire bill at its disposal to consider not just the changes the Senate made, but the entire body of the bill. I need to suggest that I hesitate to see that happen and see this kind of a discussion take place. On the other hand, with the dramatic change that has taken place, I believe I find myself on the side of voting no and taking the chance on either the bill failing or that a joint conference committee would have a broader concept to come back, perhaps negotiating something that's more palatable to both the House and the Senate.
Anyone else? We'll do a first and second time. First time. All right. Question being called. We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 13. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Throne.
Aye. Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 17 aye, 42 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to fail to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 1-3, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 2:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is recessed until 2:30 p.m.